Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Poodle just told me something for like the third time, and I said, you've told me that already. You can't start forgetting things because then I'm fucked, because that's what I do.
You're right. My grandmother did that, and my mother would go, gosh, it's another, she told me that story again. Can you believe it? And now she does that.
Yeah.
And I said, and you'll tell her. You're like, yeah, you did tell me. She'll just keep going.
Well, you're going to hear it again.
No, she doesn't even say that. She just ignores me. She just keeps going.
Oh, golly.
You know what? She needs to get her talking out. So
we all are getting forgetful. All getting forgetful.
This is a very sad way to open. Yo, this is reality gaze.
Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will live with an attorney.
That was one of the saddest displays.
You know, y'all, we're going to be honest. We're not going to talk too much about ourselves, but Poodle's had a day. He had fraud.
Fraud on my card.
And we started this and we sat down and he said, oh, I said, let's talk about this. He's like, yes. He's like, this episode that wasn't good. And I said, are you kidding? This was the best season, our best episode of the season. And I started listing everything. And then he And then he got kind of gay and excited about it because he remembered.
Well, honestly.
It's like that dick that you're like, you haven't slept with that guy in a year. And then he comes back to you and you're like, wow.
I forget about that dick. Yeah, well, the thing is, I was doing this, and it's one of those days where you don't even have 5 minutes. And yeah. And I was, like, sitting down there watching the show, like, playing Beat the Clock, like, how quickly I can get this done before we need to do it.
I've been there.
But
usually it's because a trick's coming over, and Poodle's trying to get it watched before he says he's coming over.
Usually.
At 9 o'clock, which means he'll be there at 9:20.
More like 10. They're always late.
Does a hookup ever show up on time?
No. When they do, it's actually very disarming.
You're like, you're still like, have a butt plug up your butt, loosening up. Oh, hey there.
Hi there, fellas. Didn't expect to see you.
I'm still sitting up. I'm still setting up the sex sling. Exactly. And getting the whips out.
Yeah. Y'all, it looks like before Poodles has sex, it looks like that scene where they're covering the dragon and Pete's dragon at the end. It's like a blanket. They're going, here, over here, George. Oh, catch it. I got it, Roy. Heave ho, heave ho.
You're ruining people's childhood again.
We need to move on. Y'all, this is season 6, episode 7, Troubled Waters.
Troubled Waters. What is that? Is that in relation to every story? Or maybe Troubled Waters is probably Elizabeth and Andre when they're out on the boat.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
We're on a boat.
Before we jump in, I want to clarify, because we mentioned this and some of you have gotten confused. So we are talking about 90 Day Foodie Call. We are not doing an Instagram live, so you don't have to worry about, oh my God, am I going to be there? And not. No, we filmed some stuff. We're editing it right now. Sissy Christina is editing it, is doing that, and we're putting it up for your pleasure. It will live on forever. You do not have to be live. We're just putting it on Instagram in our reels.
For a minute when you said we filmed some stuff, I thought, what did we film? And I'm like, did I film something? That's how busy the week has been. And I was like, wait, did I send them private things that I filmed?
You're out of CBD too. It's not good.
No, I have some. I just haven't taken. I haven't opened the new bottle that I have.
Oh, I need to go take tonight. So we just want to let y'all know this is something we've never done before, and it's something that we're kind of being picky about.
It was nuts.
It's gonna come out, and we just wanted to build anticipation.
Same time.
Anyway, I just want to make that announcement. And
I was cooking, y'all. I was cooking. Yeah, I made fuck soup.
It looked like hairy balls in a soup, and you
and I cooked.
And I will say this: yes, Poodle says he hates to eat on camera. He kept eating this soup over, and
I was like, so hungry.
It was so good.
You know what? I forgot I was on camera. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Did you freeze any of it for me so when I come back after taking care of my dad, I can have some?
Let's move on.
Great, y'all. We want to. It's June. June, and y'all know what that means. Hey, it's gay pride. We're gonna get gay and suck some dicks. We're gay.
Yeah, that's all the gay pride is about to you. I'm glad.
No, it's not at all. Not at all. It's not at all.
You need to wear tiny belly shirts and prance on a parade.
Buy all your underwear at Nasty Pig.
My neighbor downstairs had a pair of Nasty Pig, and I was just like, oh my.
Oh, did they say Nasty Pig? I thought they said something like breed me.
No, they
said
Nasty Pig. That was his underwear.
I have a friend who wears them that says they're very comfortable underwear, and I went,
yeah, I bet that's why you get them.
I bet. Anyway, no judgment. You know what? If Nasty Pig sponsored us, I would wear their underwear with pride.
I go,
you would too.
I don't know if they want us making pig noises.
But they would. Poodle would do it. Nasty Pig shoot.
I don't know if we're their ideal client.
No. But it is Gay Pride, and we want to be sure to talk about our new charity for the Sissy Squad this month.
Yeah, which is the Allie Forney Center in New York City, which is basically helps LGBTQ youths overcoming homelessness and gives them tools to deal with all the problems of homelessness and living on the streets, and then gives them tools to get out of homelessness. So, yes. And I think the statistics of LGBT youth, and especially trans youth who are homeless, it's like you're 4 times as likely to be homeless or something like that. It's ridiculous.
So it is 4 times. You're also suicidality is also it's 4 times as well. The Allie Forney Center was actually, I want to look at the year, but it was one of the first kind of LGBT youth organizations in the country.
Yeah.
That really,
Allie Forney was a person, and he was, I believe, a non-binary.
Yeah, he was 13.
Yeah, when he was kicked out of the house, and they advocated for equality, and advocated for other people, other trans and non-binary youths who are on the streets, and they found them like shot in the head.
They're when shot he was to death in
18 yeah. or something like that.
17
and,
in Harlem.
And Carl yeah. Siciliano, the founder, named it for him and put that in his memory.
There, and it. And so, and I want to say, I want to look at you. This was only founded. This shows you. I just want to remind people the even though there are some, honestly, the lack of places we have because again, LGBTQ plus youths are going to be have a higher chance of being homeless. This was only founded in 2002.
Yeah.
So yes, it's been around for 20 years, but it's only really been in like the last 20 years we have. And I know this from personal. There's LifeWorks. That's a great homeless youth center in Los Angeles. And y'all, personally, this is where I did a lot of my not at Valley Forney, but working with kids that were homeless, LGBTQ youth that were in. Foster care. I remember I had one kid who was these kids. It's different when you're giving an example. It's different when you're queer. So this one kid, he was Mexican American, or his parents were from Mexico, and just a bad home life. Went into the foster care system, and because so you're thinking, okay, this kid they're going to be able to match him with a good family in Los Angeles. This is a big system. Well. Because of his, you know, because of his race, they just assumed it would be better to put him with a Mexican American family.
Yeah,
and this was about when I was in school, so this was like 14 years ago. As you can see with what we've seen on 90 Day Fiance, just with Kenny and Armando, some of the ideas of, and so he bounced around. He went to 12 different foster homes, and being a lot of the, and most of the reasons he left every foster home. And this was between the ages of at 6 to 12. He went to, I believe, it
good
might be 13.
Lord.
And he went to those different, and a lot of them were because he would go to these different families and none of them would accept his LGBT, except he was identified as gay. None of them would accept that because they were either, they were Catholic or their culture.
Yeah.
So finally, he ended up going into LifeWorks, which was a homeless center that works with foster youth that are queer kids. And they ended up working with fosters and aligned him with, and at 12 years of age, he got adopted into a family that he tells us, because I worked with him a lot, and we had an advocacy group, and he tells a story about it. I said, if so, I knew this was my mom and my dad, because when I told her I was gay, she said, "That's great, honey. Let's get pizza and celebrate."
Oh.
And he said, "And I never thought that a parent would say that to me in my whole life." So I know that was a long story, but I have a personal connection to working with kids that are in this situation. And I think it would, I don't have any personal connection with Valley Forney Center. I want to make that clear. We're not raising something for that we're involved in. But anyway, you really are giving to a truly organization that is just changing the lives of so many kids that were never given a chance, even
right.
in the current system. Anyway, off soapbox.
So one other thing we need to talk to you guys about, y'all, Smothered premiered this week. Season 3 premiere yeah. of Smothered. There are 3 new mother-daughter couples.
Yes.
And 2 of them are definitely disturbing.
As I call smelling tooth crazy. That's one thing I can equate it with.
It's the $8 tier on our Patreon is definitely the cringe tier. We've got Extreme Sisters. I don't know what I'm going to do between Smothered and Extreme Sisters, because I think Extreme Sisters has probably got at least 2 more episodes.
I think it goes to 8, yeah. So there's going to be some overlap where you're just going to feel nauseous pretty much all week.
I had a hard time with the at-home insemination talk.
Oh, I thought you meant I've had many.
No, I was fine last night with my at-home insemination.
Yeah, no,
that was perfectly normal, complete with the GIMP masks.
Ooh, y'all, it is.
That's more normal than the mom inseminating her daughter without telling her wife.
Or the mother and daughter who critique each other's sex tapes.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up. It's good. We're excited for the season. The first two episodes, as per usual, are going to drop on the free feed. And then after that, it's going to jump into the
$8 Patreon.
$8 Patreon.
Roll tape.
South Africa. We're heading to South Africa, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, Scottish accent.
By the way, y'all, if you're watching this in our intimate portrait, we want to remind you, we're remote but goat.
You can see my lovely new curtains.
They are pretty. It's better than the cardboard box you had taped up to your wall.
And you can see my lamps in the background and my archway.
And your trash can with the Target bag in it.
What's wrong with that? I repurpose bags.
It needs to go somewhere else.
What's wrong with it?
You have a metal desk office trash can in the middle of your living room. Get a pretty trash can.
It's not in my living room. It's behind my couch.
But we literally...
You know what? Just use the term pretty trash can.
No one comes into your space that goes behind your couch.
I guess a lot of people come into my space.
Well, they go straight to your bedroom. However,
exactly. I just grab their hand.
Even though there are dozens and dozens, eventually will be thousands of men that come through your new apartment, there's still going to be more listeners at home that are going to watch this on Intimate Portrait and see your trash can there.
Y'all, come at me if you like my Target trash can.
Come at him with pretty artful trash cans. I just think you would like something. Poodle he's really into a tree theme.
I'm in transition for putting this apartment together. I would love some grace.
That's true. I got to call the housekeeper for you tomorrow.
Oh God, leave me alone. You're in Oklahoma. Fuck off.
I'm not. I'm in Texas y'all. By the way.
It's the same.
Doing father's doing well. He's out of the hospital. I'm here with him. We are expected to go back to Oklahoma on Tuesday. Stem cell went well. He's doing fine.
This is the first time that anyone's ever wanted to go back to Oklahoma.
I like being in Houston. I love Houston.
That's what I'm saying. We should move on to the show. It's like 45 minutes and we haven't gotten to the show yet.
And Bruno. This was the announcement
called Oh Tiffany.
Oh, the tears of Tiffany.
No, that's tears of Kalani. Get it straight.
This is an Oh Tiffany. By the way, this is the announcement I bet you're thinking of. We couldn't remember an announcement. Y'all, news alert. Tiffany's father's not gay.
Oh, that's right. The wife is, she's very young.
He's got a young child.
Good for him.
Because we just thought he was cute. And really, we probably just wanted him to be gay because we wanted to sleep with him.
Yeah. So y'all, we're at she and her dad.
Her father, Carlos.
Our pa. She calls him. They're at dinner, and she's asking him the big question: whether he can financially co-sponsor.
All my happiness depends on you.
Yeah, she's really laying it thick. So I think this is, instead of telling you about it,
I
think we'd rather describe it and immortalize it in another episode of Reality Gaze Theater. You can make that sync up in the later on. I like to do it fast because I like you to chase me.
I did it all with you. It was in concert together.
I'm sure it was. I'll be playing the role of Tiffany. Please don't try to do her father's accent. Just begging.
I won't.
So y'all, this is Tiffany explaining, as she's been told by her mother not to do, Ronald's quote unquote past.
Yeah, mama said, you lie, don't you tell him nothing.
Mother suggested she lie, and so the father will just pay. Tiffany's got people in her life who give her bad advice.
Tiffany's mother hates Carlos, and now that I know that Carlos has a 24-year-old wife, she really hates Carlos. Really?
So this is, they're at the table. Carlos has got his rose shirt on, and Tiffany, Tiffany's dressed nice. She shoulders out, of course. Her hair's a little short. Don't love how short it's like kind of hitting on her shoulders.
I don't mind it. I think she looks pretty.
Well, it's in between. It's an in-between length for me.
If she's not selling a makeup line and a shirt line,
I can't believe she's not.
At Kohl's, I don't know why. Kohl's is good. Kathy Ireland's in Kohl's.
Kato. That's what I'm saying. Kohl's is good.
Yeah.
She's second tier.
Kato's closed.
Is
anyway.
It?
Yes, anyway. I don't think it's open.
To the theater, bitch.
Maybe she could sell it at Ollie's. All right, let's do it.
And scene. Dad.
Yeah, you're gonna eat those fries.
I know you've already said that you would give me the money to co-sponsor Ronald, but
my love. Yes.
I need to tell you one little thing.
Oh, anything. Anything for you.
So he's got a little bit of a gambling problem. It's like over. It's over.
Oh, like
he had it. He had a gambling problem, like when he was
like at
14.
So
now he's like maybe 20, 25. He went to rehab. Oh. It's fine.
Rehab for gambling?
It was a Christian rehab, so it was fine.
Thank God.
And he met us the first day with Daniel, and we got him out of rehab, and we got married. And
does he have any other type of records or a restaurant? Surely not, right? I mean, that's just
bit of a record, just a little bit, so
but not like not anything for like possessing drugs or stealing from his mom.
It's what the thing was, it was he had drugs in his friend's jacket. You know how like people put their drugs in their jacket and they give you their jacket and you like unwittingly like have drugs on you and you don't know it?
Yeah, that's what drug dealers say.
I know, that's what I thought. Anyway, but that's not what happened. Also, he may have pawned his mom's fridge.
A Kenmore?
I think it might have been. I think it might have been a GE.
Even worse. Oh, Tiffany.
I just need to say, Tiffany, Dad, Pa.
You know I love refrigerators.
You're the only one that's going to get him here. And if you know what. If you don't do it, we might have to go to South Africa.
You know what?
So
I'm going to do this just to piss off your mom.
And scene. You know, this was brutal.
It was brutal.
I have not seen manipulation like this since Andre and Chuck later on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tiffany.
Well done, Tiff. Well done.
Well done. I mean, Carlos, he says, well, I'm second guessing what I just told you. And he said, are you doubting this? And Tiffany goes in, well, everything was withdrawn. You know,
this was great because he said, I'm going to do this for you because of his relationship with Daniel. But he says, you know, Are you sure about this? Because if you're not sure, how is this even going to work out at all?
Yes. And Tiffany says something that I think is a thing that I think a lot of people that are in love or have family members that deal with people with addiction. She says, I know he's a good person.
But that doesn't matter.
And he's crying. I just want to say this, y'all. If your boyfriend is doing meth, that does not make them a bad person.
No, they're an addict.
They are in the midst of addiction and that struggle. It has nothing to do, and that's for anyone, because to be honest, I grew up in a house. My dad was which kept me from drugs because I was scared to do it because how he would react. But my dad very much called people things like druggies and said people, he's gotten better with this because he has a better understanding.
You missed out on some drugs.
I know, but he's talked about
shame.
people that did drugs are losers. People that did that were addicted were lazy. So he put a lot of those things, those stigma in my head that I, and society that I was too scared of taking. I didn't want to ever worry about that.
You
and
know,
I
just, if he would have seen me after I snorted three or four lines of coke, the last thing he would have thought that I was lazy. Wow. I could move. I got I got a lot done.
Wow. I'm sure that was the prequel to your movie you made, Flooded. Yeah.
You don't want to have sex after you've done coke, though, because you don't get hard. Sorry, but, I'm just giving away all kinds of stuff tonight.
But you don't need to use your dick when you have sex.
But I still like to.
But that's why a lot of people, I mean, do meth too. They can't use their dicks.
That's right. I don't want to have sex on drugs. That's the thing. You really could never. That's the thing. If they could invent something, a drug that I could have sex on, I would probably do it.
I thought that's ecstasy. Everybody has sex on ecstasy.
That's true. You can. I have had sex. You know, ecstasy is a problematic drug though, because you kind of sometimes. You kind of know what you're going through, and sometimes you don't, and you don't know how long it's going to last. Let's move on from drugs.
But all I wanted to say though is that broke my heart, because Tiffany, this goes to show, I wonder if Tiffany's been to meetings, to Al-Anon meetings, and gotten
I don't think
educated.
She has been.
I think the most education she's gotten about this are either from personal friends or from Ronald's mouth. Because I'm like, if you have done, not the work, because that makes it seem like she hasn't done, Tiffany's done a lot. So I don't want to, but if she had done maybe she has, but I just feel like if she had done some research about the disease more, she would learn that says Ronald could be a good guy, but still be a fucking, that his personality. Well, of being a loser has nothing to do with his addiction. It's
no,
he's
just
a
fucking loser.
Here's
my issue. Tiffany thinks that she can save Ronald and bring Ronald across the finish line of her own will. She thinks she can do it for him.
The best thing that happened to Tiffany and Ronald's relationship is that there's an ocean between them.
Exactly.
It's the thing that's going to save her.
I actually really like Tiffany.
Oh, I do too.
And I think Tiffany.
I relate to her more than very few people on 90 Day Fiancé. I like her a lot.
And I understand why. I actually understand why she makes the decisions she does. However, something happened in her past of something where she thinks that she has to be accountable for other people's mistakes.
Yeah. Her father, who's in the picture now, who's making up for his mistakes because he left her when she was young. And that's another reason he doesn't say, but I'm sure he feels guilty.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Exactly.
Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, that you don't know when.
But not going to be.
Did Madonna cover that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Am I crazy?
Yes.
Don't answer that.
Yeah. The thing with Tiffany too is that, you know, when her dad says that, she just immediately starts crying.
Yep.
And Carlos says, you know, his mom and dad were together, and he hopes everything's going to be okay. And Tiffany's just, you know, she's saying everything's on the line, and then Carlos kind of ends and he says, yeah, but how stupid would he be if he fucked this up?
Oh,
like how stupid would he, after all the stuff that she's going through? And I think, again, it's this idea of, I don't know, I hope people see themselves in Tiffany's behavior and go, we've all had that touch. And so to see that you really can't save someone. And the point being is that in this next scene, Ronald showed exactly who he is.
Ugh.
In this scene.
He's such a fucking troglodytic loser.
He is. And you
he's
know what?
Oh, such a piece of shit.
This is what I was going to say. It's interesting how, like, it's like that Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers.
It is.
He's about to be on the Kennedy Center Honors. I'm excited for that. And Dick Van Dyke on the Kennedy Center Honors.
Oh, Jesus.
But
How has Dick Van Dyke not been honored by the community, the Kennedy Center yet? And
Julie Andrews is going to speak about him.
Y'all are watching chat tomorrow. It'll be already released by the. We'll have already done it by the time this is released. And yes, I did think about time. Is Victor Victoria?
Oh, the Kennedy Centers would have already come on too. Sorry, you missed it all, y'all. You missed everything we just talked about. But what I was going to say is, you know, it's like you probably the thing that you think you want so badly, it truthfully, like. Look, you and I grew up trying to change who we are, mm-hmm. trying to change being gay. And we were like, if only I could change this thing about me.
This one my life, thing, my life would be thing. Fine.
And here we have a podcast that people love and celebrate. And somebody said their hospital talked about us in their newsletter. And y'all send
that
us.
That actually made me a little bit teary when I saw that.
I sent it to my sister-in-law, who's a nurse, because she was like, damn straight. And it was very emotional. And we get all these messages from you, and we appreciate them. And all of that is because we accepted the reality of who we are, and that mm-hmm. being gay, we grew up thinking that was the thing that was going to hold us back, and it was actually the thing that moved us forward.
That flung us forward.
And for Tiffany,
like, come, hitting you know, my hitting wow. my chest.
I start to shame you, but then I have to go there. I have to yes and it. I have to. Sorry, improv training. It's like somebody said Ronnie on Crap and said.
They did.
Yeah, when you go out with Matt and Jake, you're going to get a burrito and they're so gross. And
we're
then they laugh.
Talk about cum and the food you eat.
But
y'all, we're saying what you're thinking. That's the thing.
But what I wanted to say is that for Tiffany, she's for years thinking if Ronald could just come over here and if he could, and this is such a problem that he can't get here. This is the one problem in my life. If
right.
I could just get Ronald here. She said this. If I could just get him here, it will save him. Doesn't realize that Ronald not coming here, I guarantee you,
thing.
5 years from now, she's going to say, thank you, God, for giving me that gift.
We don't know if they're actually together right now. We don't know.
We don't.
I will say, Tiffany is the master of raising the stakes to whatever she's doing and putting humongous stakes on. And it's like, it's completely counterintuitive for how she should feel.
She's on the list. Molly, we really need to get that list of people we want to go save.
Oh my God.
She's on a list.
I want to like talk to her until 3 a.m. at a bar when I'm just so drunk. I'm like, I love you, but I need to know. Here's what I want from you. I would do it. I'm like, you need to love yourself.
I would ask her to do my makeup.
God, her.
Anyway,
I will say she looks great. Y'all, the next scene, she is at the lawyer's.
Devin Lugman.
Devin, I think it's Luckman. Luckman with a Q.
Oh, okay.
And they're gonna get Ronald on video chat. They're like prepping for the interview. And my favorite thing of this scene is, y'all, I love Tiffany because she knows a look. And she is sticking with that look. She's still got her shoulders out, even though she put a motherfucking scarf around her neck.
She did.
So she's cold around her neck, but her shoulders are hot.
Her shoulders are hot.
Hot. I kind of screamed when I saw her scarf and her shoulders exposed. If you listen to us, we love your shoulders. We're not making fun of it. We call it out because you know you love your shoulders.
It's her
too.
Brand. She's talked about it on
Instagram.
You are
Shoulders McGee.
She is Shoulders McGee. I'm telling you.
Lean into it. Come up with a line of those shirts. Women will buy them.
Women will buy them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're in the attorney's office and they said, let's call in Ronald. And so picture it. The screen comes up. And it's Ronald looking like a B-side deleted scene from Boogie Nights in a haze-filled room, just lounging on a couch with bad lighting.
And party lights behind.
And with that visual, I think it now is a time for another installment of reality gaze theater.
Who's playing who before we start this?
We didn't decide. You can do Ronald if you want.
Okay, or I'll do Ronald. Tiffany. I'll do Ronald. Yeah, this time.
Right, I'm fine to do Ronald.
We ended together because you actually raced to get to me, and I refused to change my pace. I refused. All right. You fuck with my musicality.
I don't know if they heard it, but I just played the ballpark sound.
We really need...
doesn't work. I don't know how you can't hear it.
We're going to have Patrick Hine be a constant sound effect person at all of our live shows.
I know.
How do we get him out of his job?
How do we get him to do it shirtless?
Ooh, y'all.
And just like the suspenders?
Ooh, I think that's a little objectifying.
It's Patrick. It's fine.
We'll get me too'd.
Oh, Patrick enjoys it.
Again, that's what Harvey Weinstein said.
We need to move on. Let's get to this scene.
Nicole Kidman enjoys it when I talk to her that way.
Yeah, I don't think so. So picture it. Ronald's on the couch. Tiffany's talking to her attorney. I'm going to be playing the role of the attorney of Doug or Devin and Tiffany. And scene. So, Ronald, hey, this is Devin. I'm the immigration attorney. Ronald, Tiffany, can you just move your, could you move your camera? All I see is your mic. There we are. Hi. So fucking stupid. So yes, this is the attorney. Just thank you for being here today. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about, so, you know, what are you going to say when Ronald, can you stop fucking vaping? Everything is on the line, Ronald. Everything.
Fine. I know what we're going to do.
So what are you going to say, Ronald?
It's very easy. I'm just going to tell them everything I want to do.
Why have you been arrested? Pretend I'm the immigration interview.
I've been arrested plenty of times. Plenty of times.
Oh, what, like two or three? Two or three times?
More like 10.
Oh, like, okay. So, okay, well.
I'm going to act like a sullen teenage girl.
Okay, what, you know, what concerns would you have for the interview? I mean, is there, why do you want to come to America?
I'm bored. Say something else to make me interested.
Do you have any children or a wife? Is there a reason why you want to go to Maryland in particular, Ronald?
A homo says what?
He's so fucking stupid. Idiot.
I want to go to bed. Can I go to bed?
Ronald, last question. Do you want nachos right now?
I want you to shut the fuck up, and I want my wife to come see me in South Africa.
And scene.
Y'all, this was the worst display ever.
I appreciate, I just want to say that if you're watching the intimate portrait, that Poodle did camera work. He did camera work. He and his body inhabited the character.
Ronald,
I am proud for you. That was well done.
There's a lot of sitting in a chair. Yeah, this.
Y'all, it was.
It was like a sullen teenage girl.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
It's like you can't tell me what to do.
And the lawyer says, you know, after talking to Ronald, like I'm pretty sure it's 50-50.
Y'all, I think Tiffany's right. Ronald is trying to sabotage this.
Well,
for
people that don't watch, let's just say Tiffany's more nervous. She gets in the car
and calls him.
Ronald, and she's like, "So, how did you think?" And he's like, "Well, I think it went okay. We'll see." He's like, "It's in gold tins.
It's in gold tins."
When Tiffany says, "It's literally in your hands."
It's literally in your hands. We talked about this before, y'all.
We have.
You say, "Yep, Jesus will take care of it." No, you have to help Jesus.
You have to help Jesus.
Jesus is like me in gym class. You've got to help him in kickball. He's not going to get there.
No, give Jesus a hand, or at least a hand job.
Or at least a handy.
And so, yeah, give Jesus a handy, y'all. So this is though where he's on the phone. She says it's in your hands. And then he says, well, if it doesn't work out, then you move to South Africa. And she's like, no, Ronald, get your shit together. And that's when he says, well, I just know that in the end, you do have a place to go to. Come here.
Y'all, see, I'm so fucking triggered by his masculinity, toxic masculinity, like trigger. And I know the phrase toxic masculinity is overused, but Ronald is the fucking embodiment of it. I just want to smack his like fat, big gourd face.
He triggers me the way Mike triggers me, but in a different way. But like there's a visceral anger.
Mike hides it better.
But still, it makes me very angry at both of them because this feels like was this Ronald's plan all along to get Tiffany pregnant and trap her so that way he felt like, because I worry about.
He doesn't plan.
I'm going to say this, and this is just speculation, so this isn't any factual, but just based off, I don't know. I worry not about the kids at all. I worry if Tiffany moved over there for a little bit of her. I think he would verbally abuse her and potentially maybe even physically.
They've already verbally abused each other.
That's true.
I will say if he abused her, she'd knock the shit out of him. And they would probably abuse one another and they'd both wind up at the police station.
Yeah, this is. I agree. This is one of the worst pairings, I think, in 90 Day Fiancé history.
I want so much for her. She's made, as people have pointed out, she's made really, really bad decisions.
A lot of people, especially mothers in our Facebook, really are not Tiffany fans because they, and I agree with them.
They don't how she took Daniel there.
How could, and that was a problem for us. How could she take Daniel
and
over there? So
have another baby with Ronald.
So I will say, Tiffany is not a victim in this. Tiffany, the sad thing is, I think what breaks my heart, Tiffany put herself exactly where she is.
Amen. I totally agree with you.
We knew who Ronald was since we saw him.
She knew too on her trip.
She knew too, and that's the saddest thing is that she got herself into this fucking mess.
Ugh. Yeah, I
hate him.
She is one of the people who you're like me. You and I want to save her. We have this, and like Molly as well. We want to save them from their own choices.
Yes,
and we can't though. We can't. You're more than me, but I'm just kind of like let them burn.
Yeah.
After all that,
y'all, this season isn't going to end. We see in a preview next week. I guess the travel bans have been lifted, and Ronald wants her to go there. I'm telling you now. That's not going to go well, but that might be what she needs because they're going to go over there and they're going to fight the entire time.
Well, we saw in quarantine.
It was horrible.
In 90 Day Fiancé quarantine, they talked to each other in a way that I would not talk to my worst enemy. It was bad.
Yeah. It's interesting that Tiffany thinks Ronald's a good person. Again, this has nothing to do with his addiction. I don't think he is a good person. I think Tiffany is, but when she is with him, he brings out this really just nasty side of one another. They're just
Ronald is a spoiled child.
Yeah.
Who needs to have his every whim catered to. And if that doesn't happen, he exercises his will on all women or who are around there to give him adulation. It's really gross.
Like, he doesn't respect women. He didn't steal from his dad.
He stole from his mom. He is, to me, one of the worst people in the 90 Day universe.
This is why we don't have guests on the show, everybody. That's why it's just Poodle and I. It's not really ever going to be anybody else.
We really couldn't have anybody. Y'all, Ed is not lining up to join us.
Ed is not. He is not.
I totally would have. We would have Darcy and Stacey in a minute, though. Just know that. Oh. Queens, if you ever want to come on our podcast, we would be honored.
I would talk to Tiffany, actually.
I would talk to her, too.
I would talk to. But I think people know.
We're not really a cast-friendly podcast.
Well, we're the voice of the listeners, not the cast.
Is that what we are?
I think we are. I'll have anybody on the show, but...
I'm my fucking voice.
I love Molly, but if Molly comes on, I'm going to read her and be like, girl, why are you so insecure with Kelly? Just tell him.
I think you're right. I think we keep it pretty real.
I don't want to be an interview show with cast
members. I don't really.
But I do want to meet Darcy and Stacey.
Oh, I would blow smoke up their ass as far as I needed to meet them.
I love them so much. Oh, I just want to get drunk with Darcy. Who doesn't?
That's not going to be hard. She'll be drunk the first time you meet her.
I just want to get drunk with Darcy and guest star in one of her cameos. Like, we could be backup dancers behind her.
Oh, my God.
Like, she's doing a drunk cameo, and you and I, she's like, so, I just want you to say.
Oh, my God. Martin, it's your birthday. I'm so happy for you.
Happy for you. Happy for you. And we're dancing in the background. Love is love. Love is love. Love, 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 love.
Thank you.
Oh, anyway.
I love love.
We need to move on and talk about other cast members.
Do we need to take a commercial break?
Before that, we're going to take a break for the people in our free feed. If you're on the $8 tier up in our Reality Gates Extra, we'll just keep going. See you after the break. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Y'all, you miss everything that goes on in the breaks. When
you miss Poodle being mean to me and dismissing all of my feelings and concerns.
When I go, I don't care about any of this.
I'm just talking about the... y'all, we realize some of you have said that Poodle sounds loud.
And, we're working on it.
Welcome. That's how it sounds in real life. It's just
your ear. You pierce my ears.
something's going on with the program. We don't under so we're doing our best and trying. I think it's better.
I also
but we're working on it.
I also have a new computer which is much more sensitive. So I'm my gain is so far down on this microphone.
The same person that loved it when we talked about Gobos got so excited that you just talked about a game because they don't know what that means.
They did.
We need to move on to someone else who doesn't know probably what that means.
Angelo Michael. Y'all, I must say, this may be the first person who's ever checked Angela, and I am here for it, and I am loving every minute of it.
That's when you said, like, I don't know if this is good. I said... This was a good episode. It said, it
no, you're right. Where- I was wrong because I was in a shitty mood.
Get
you're
the
right.
pillow.
you're still not getting my pillow.
This is what I thought too. When have we ever seen someone shut up Angela?
It never has. You know why? When you hit her with enough facts and you don't relent, and especially if you're a male, who she may be slightly attracted to, and you're in a position of power, she will immediately defer to you. It's interesting.
It's true. You just mentioned, though, like seven things someone has to have before Angela will defer power to them. So basically, like three people.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all, so...
She's going to... And who we're talking about is her
Dr.
classic.
Dr. Sadat. Who is home?
And I think he's gay. I feel a gay vibe from
him.
He
can sedot me.
He could sedot on my face.
Have a seat there, doctor. Didn't know you were coming for tea.
Yeah, I sit right there on my thighs.
Oh, I just made a chest pie.
She says, I'm going to use my southern charm to convince him to do the surgery because he doesn't want to because I've been smoking. And guess what? She's like, so can I give you my word that I won't smoke no more?
And he said, no.
No.
Because you did that before and you lied.
And you got to sign this contract, bitch.
And if you smoke, you have to pay me $2,000 for wasting my time.
Which she's hitting... he's hitting her where she really hurts, which is her wallet.
Her wallet.
And
the reason is he says basically all, skip ahead in 2 minutes if you don't want to hear this if you're a smoker, because you'll get scared.
No, you should hear this if you're a smoker. I was a smoker, so I would need to hear this.
When you smoke, the blood vessels, basically they get smaller and get choked. And so they're not delivering blood supply, especially in your jaw neck area.
Yep.
So there's a very good possibility that skin could not heal and even die. Like, you know, where people's skin rots. I think that's what I was getting.
Necrosis. Of
yeah.
This. Yeah.
So that when he said, that's why I'm not going to do it.
I will say that's the thing, you guys, if you're smoking, and I smoked, like I wasn't an extreme smoker. Like I may be a 5 or 6 cigarette a day person. I was never like a pack a day smoker. But I smoked through college, grad school, and I quit basically when I came to LA and I had a really bad drunk period and I didn't want to smoke in my new car.
I was going to say, you smoked for about 2 years when you were in LA, a year.
Yeah, about a year. And then then I just couldn't do it anymore. And now if I have a cigarette, it's like I actually get sick to my stomach. Yeah. Which is weird as a singer, but
cigarettes are actually, I've read some studies when I was in school that talked about cigarettes actually can be more addictive than heroin.
I believe it.
I'm not saying that. I just read some, so I'm not. And I'm not a drug expert or a counseling expert on that anymore.
Mine were habitual things that I used a cigarette to either celebrate or forget from. So they were all behavioral things. And so if you're smoking, think about what you use cigarettes for, and get help. Either that way or think about working on that part of yourself. And that's almost easier to quit smoking if you work on that than the quitting smoking part.
You know, and CBT therapists, cognitive behavioral therapists are really great for that. I highly recommend just dealing with, because a lot of times cigarette smoking is dealing with or not dealing with anxiety.
Amen.
And so that's cognitive behavioral therapy works really well for anxiety, but it also works for thoughts and behaviors around smoking. So right. You never know what it's a difficult thing. So our hearts go out to Angela and that this is difficult for her, but it was wonderful to see her get red.
I will. And
especially for the way she's been treating Michael.
We'd never seen this before. Like, we've never seen her speechless before. And her reaction when someone actually checks her is she laughs, because it's almost like, finally, someone who can meet me where I am.
Well, she said, you're just being rude. She tried to say that.
She did.
She tried to beg. She tried to guilt. She tried to shame. And that's when I think the doctor might be a little bit of a queen, because he said, you were supposed to quit after your last surgery. This is on you. And then he said, she's like, okay, fine. Well, I'll sign the contract. He said, and then when you come back before I do the surgery, I'm going to do a nicotine test on you.
And she lost her mind. I loved it.
And that's when he gave her the contract. She said, I ain't ever in my damn life.
Because she knew she was beat.
She knew she was beat, and I wrote Dr. Sadat as a queen, but then Angela said, well, that
she's
actually
like, I've been medical all my life.
Never seen such a thing.
She's actually a home health aide. She's not really in medical.
She works in hospice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's medical, but it's a totally different.
It is medical, but it's like,
when you're in hospice, you give them whatever the hell they want because they're dying. It doesn't. If they want to smoke a cigarette on morphine with lung cancer in hospice, you give it to them.
I will say, when he said, if you don't sign this, there's no surgery. And she kind of went, and you saw the
when he said, I'm not your doctor right now.
And you saw the wheels like turning in her head. And she's like, you know what? You're right. It's got to be me that cleans this up. And just because they did not give in to Angela's kind of manipulation, I'd never seen this before. She had to actually capitulate.
She did.
It was amazing.
It was wonderful. And the doctor she finally even says, that shows me you're a good doctor, because I always get my way. And that's when she kind of realized it was up for her to do this. And
right. She noticed him as a worthy adversary.
And so it's going to, which y'all, I think it's too soon for her to have surgery anyway. But anyway, she of course, she's in the car, in the Uber. Why?
Fighting. Why? And this poor Uber driver.
Smoking in her, the Uber.
Oh God. And has to hear her fighting with Michael. I don't
can
think
you
he
actually
can.
Smoke in the Uber? I feel like this was maybe a production crew.
I think it had to be production crew. I think you're
why
right.
Why are the top of Angela's tits blurred?
I don't know. I think her nipples may have been out. Well, I think she's still got shit in her bra.
From the surgery shit.
Yeah.
Smoking in the Uber. Smoking in the Uber. That's
smoking
the remake.
In the boys' room. Smoking in the boys' room. I will say, so she hangs up on Michael a couple of times.
Well, but she says before she hangs up, she's like, you don't ever call me. It's always me reaching out to you. I'm the one that's been doing all the work. And I have to say, when I was watching this,
more berating of Michael.
I was like, more berating. This is not true at all. We kind of found out later it is.
Well, we find out later he's been giving her the silent treatment because he's over all this shit, which good for you, Michael.
But Angela goes into total Angela mode. And again, I know a lot of you don't like Angela. A lot of you do or whatever. But see yourself in her, in the fact that we do this a lot when all of us are frustrated and we're refusing to make a change of ourselves. We often want to revert back to, well, I was fine on my own before him. I'll be fine again.
It's like, I'm independent. I've been a loner my whole life. I will say the reason why people relate to Angela is because she is who she is, regardless of what you put on. Like, Angela is more of who she is than a lot of people are on this show.
Yeah,
and she's going to show you the gross parts of herself. And a lot of people respond to that as like, ew, That's not good. And I do too, but she's not really faking it. She's giving you full on reality TV, which is why they keep having her, you guys.
Yeah.
So if you wonder why they
keep... We're not saying it's good reality TV.
But if you wonder why they keep having Angela back, it's because it's compelling. Because she's not going to act like she's not herself.
I agree with that. But her tits are still blurred. So she's saying that she's like... But the thing that goes in with Angela, Angela's a horrible communicator. And Angela's one of those people that expects whoever she's with to read her mind, I feel like.
At least she does. No, she does.
From what we're seeing in the edit. Because, and also maybe, I don't know if it's a language barrier, cultural barrier, but she says, I was hoping when I would do this, Michael would support me. But I think that's dumb of her to just assume he's going to support something when the way she tells him about it.
It's a lack of her understanding of his understanding.
And some of his understanding as well. But I actually think if she tried to understand him more and communicate to him why she's doing this in a way, I think Michael would be more supportive of it.
I agree. I wrote down, and this will lead us into the next segment, there is not a couple ever in 90 Day Fiancé who has more of a cultural divergence of what things mean and what signifiers mean certain things.
So far of what we've seen. We haven't seen some seasons.
True, but they just don't.
But I agree with that.
They don't connect on what they think things mean.
Maybe they're second to Brittany and Yazan.
Well, that was a joke season.
That was a joke season.
Because he wasn't honest with her. She wasn't honest with him.
He wasn't honest with us.
They were only in it for because both of them thought the other was exotic.
Yes, but I'm saying that like their cultures were.
Yes, but this is interesting because these people have been on multiple seasons and they still can't meet halfway.
I don't think if we ever seen people that have met halfway, at least in our seasons, because like me and Omar, to be honest, Avery kind of changed her culture a lot for his.
Anna and Marcel.
Wow. They did compromise.
They kind of met halfway.
Can I say something?
I miss them. Anna and Marcel. When she would call him Marcel in every scene.
If they put them on Happily Ever After.
Anna.
If they were on Happily Ever After, I'd be so happy.
Me too. Oh. And like Huey, Dewey, and Louie are gone. So I don't know if I'd have a lot to talk about.
I don't know. I bet Garfield's still there.
I'm hungry.
Anyway.
You're welcome, Anna, by the way. You're welcome because we convinced you to get your moles removed.
So
There is a mole on, I don't know, some TLC show that I saw coming up. Someone's got a mole on their face, and all I saw was mole, 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 mole.
Y'all, we've been having technical errors. The thing cut out, like I told you, we're trying. Poodle is hungry, and he made himself a strong vodka and a half, and he's getting loopy.
I did. You know, with my beard, it's a little long. I kind of look like Colt right now, but I don't look like that creepy, like, rat from The Secret of Nim.
So let's move on to the show. Let's talk about Michael.
Like me, do you kind of miss Colt and Danielle from The Single Life and Fernanda?
I do miss The Single Life. I do, y'all. I need to post it on Instagram. In our watch along this week, we discovered that Danielle looks like Madame Mim from Sword of the Stone and it's kind of changed.
Sword in the Stone.
So that's what I said.
You said Sword of the Stone.
Gary, roll that tape.
You know what? Gary's going to prove me right every single motherfucking time.
Y'all, watch Madame Mim from that on Disney Plus if you got it, and your mind's going to be blown.
It does look like Danielle. So let's move on to Africa. We're in Africa, y'all. In Nigeria, baby.
So Michael's walking up to his Aunt Lydia, his sister.
They're pounding yam.
Didn't know you were called yam.
Which is not a euphemism. It's real.
It's like, real.
They're actually pounding an actual yam. I would invite a man over to say, hey, you want to come pound yam?
Hey, you want to come? Hey, boys.
Want to go have pang pang?
Oh, gross. So they're making this food. And so his sister says, well, how is she doing after a surgery? And Michael's like, she's doing fine. I haven't really talked to her that much. She wants to get a facelift. And
they
then
freak out over a facelift. Freak out.
Well, because they're thinking what Michael said, she could use, that's probably expensive, and she could use that money to pay for a baby.
That's what I'm saying. There is no understanding about Angela wants this for aesthetic value for herself.
And they don't feel get better that about at herself. All.
They don't get that. That's what I'm saying. This is the farthest cultural divide that we have on the show.
I agree. And they basically, you know, Lydia makes a good point, though, because, and I can see why she thinks this way. She says, I think Angela's being very selfish, and she's giving a lot of problems to Michael. And it made me think, what do they, I wonder if they think, because Angela would say she's done all this stuff for Michael.
Yeah.
What do you think they think she's done? And that.
They don't know. That's the thing. They know so very little about Angela's life because Michael only tells them a little bit.
He's honestly, he's an even worse communicator than Angela.
I agree with you.
But he's got a big dick, so she keeps going back for more.
And that's why she keeps going back for more.
But I
think that's part of the problem. But I think he feels it a little emasculating to have to tell his family about what she's doing. So because he's supposed to make all the decisions. So they're kind of in the worst of all possible worlds. It's the opposite of Candide. This is the worst of all possible worlds. that is a really obscure reference.
Wow. Wow.
And make Michael That's going to blow out the...
No, thanks. I'm going to have to fix that in the audio. Wow.
That actually hurt my voice.
Yeah, that was... You're getting drunk. We've got to finish this show. I know you're getting drunk.
I have food coming.
When you're biting your finger, that means you're either hungry or horny.
Both, sometimes.
Okay. Anyway, they kind of... that's when Michael says, well... I just kind of stopped calling her, and I basically ghosted her. And that's
what
we learned.
Which is not the way to handle Angela.
Angela was right. Yeah. Angela was right in that this is not what you do when someone's going through surgery and going through a really... Angela already feels alone and feels like she was sad about JoJo leaving, and she was sad her husband couldn't be there.
Right.
Now Angela is never going to forget this and always bring this up of, can I trust you to take care of me? Because... Y'all, that was a part of why she was marrying Michael the same way you see old gay men marry young things. Because they love them, but they also think, I'm not going to have kids, or my kids are dealing with their own shit. Is this person going to take care of me?
Not familiar. But that's okay.
Anyway.
Can I just get their money?
Oh, God. Anyway, that's kind of basically...
That's it.
He wishes that they can make more decisions as a couple. And he's right.
Does tell them how much it costs in Nigerian money, 11.5 million naira, and they lose their minds, Aunt Lydia and his sister. And he admits that he gave her the silent treatment. And he even says, I don't know if I will ever be happy as Angela's husband.
If they break up, I'll be shocked.
I don't think they will.
If they do, I will be shocked. I think he really wants to come to the U.S. I think he loves her, but I think he really wants to come to the U.S. too.
I agree. I think that's the show.
No, we still got to talk briefly.
I'm hungry!
He's hungry. Let's quickly talk about... Oh, unless you don't want to talk about Joby and Yara.
No, we did. We want to talk about these people. Y'all, Joby and Yara, it's very short. There's a
hurricane coming, child. There's a hurricane coming. Who knows what the hurricane's going to do? Mama Gwen gonna take, to take Yara out of the house and go with the hurricane. Hurricane.
My father says hurricane for hurricane.
That's
weird.
It
makes me crazy.
I mean, but my dad says mozzarella. So
come at me if your father or mother says hurricane.
Hurricane. So Yara, so Joby wants, because the hurricane's coming, he's like, I want you to go stay with my mother, Gwen.
Because he's leaving to go to work.
Because she knows what to do. You don't know what to do. It's going to be safer. And you do feel for Yara because she's like, my life is out of control.
I really do feel for her because she has had no agency over her life.
None. And she's so dependent on other people. And
she hates that.
She hates that. I think she hates that. And she also hates if she breaks her $500 hair dryer.
She says, the most expensive hair dryer in the world, the best hair dryer in the world. I will not have it in the back of the truck.
I'm sure that it's a Dyson, and y'all, it would stand a packing. It's fine.
It's okay. I agree.
Gwen's like, Lord, come on. We got to not talk about
and
this.
And Joey's like, your hair dryer's going to be fine there. It's like, whatever. I'm like, I'm going to go. And someone told me that they felt aroused by my Joby voice.
That's the show, everybody. I'm closing this down right now.
It's like, you know, Yara told me that she didn't want me to leave. And I was like, Yara, I got to leave. I gotta like take care of our family. I mean, I don't know what you're like, what I'm doing.
Your Joby voice sounds like if a surfer fucked Janine Garofalo.
That's made a pretty voice. Much it.
That's not wrong. So, Janine Garofalo, what happened to her?
She's still around.
She is good for her. So,
they're
taking him to the airport. And then Joby just says, my family's very open. Yara's not. I know that's going to be. And Gwen even tells her, she's like, Yara, I did it myself.
I did it by myself, too.
Because,
Yara, I can raise a baby. And
Joby's dad did the same job that she had. And she had two kids. I have to say, I think Gwen's a great mom. I know we shaded her at first because she did a lot of, because she didn't, I think she didn't trust Yara at first. She didn't know who she was, and she was very American bullshit on her.
It's hard to be a mother-in-law in this situation, and she's doing the best she can.
I think she's doing a really good job now that she knows that, like, Yara is in it, like, for the real reason.
Exactly.
That she loves him. Because, y'all, I have to say, if you don't think Joby and Yara love each other after
they
seeing
do.
This goodbye at the airport.
Who knew this was going to be the heart of the season? This is the heart of the motherfucking season.
Y'all, the baby's in the car. They walk out. Joby doesn't want to leave. Yara starts crying.
And he's like, Milo may forget who I am. I mean, what am I going to do?
I kind of
sound like Miley Cyrus when I do Joby.
You do.
I mean, I'm Miley. I forget who I am. It's like, whatever.
Whatever. Yara is like silently crying and starts in like little teeny sobs. This was such a beautiful, heartbreaking goodbye.
I don't know if you noticed this. There was a song that's like,
yeah.
You will go to the bayou. You're going to love your husband.
Oh, I wrote this.
You're
going
to be back. Well, you need to be back in the souls of the family tree. You're going to love your husband.
No, this sounds fucky now. That's not how it didn't go into that voice. It was very pretty and sweet. And you just made it.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Now, you sound, again, a little bit like...
be here.
You sound like gay Bob Seger. Okay.
That was weird.
Poodle's getting drunk. I wrote, it sounds like the newest single from Jennifer Nettles.
I agree with you.
Pop country. Again, I don't know where gay Bob or
gay
Seger
Bob
came
Seger.
From.
Not moves.
like a cock. Why have we not sang that song?
I don't know. Let's end this shit. I have food coming.
Poodle is getting wrapped right now.
I'm so tired.
We got to end this show, y'all. So next episode, y'all, we saved them because Poodle's so tired. But next week, we've got Brandon and Julia
tomorrow.
Brandon and Julia with Drunk Betty. Ugh. We've got Kalani and Asuelu's sweet scene. We've got Libby and her sister fucking duking it out on a boat.
They went for it.
Libby we've always wanted to see. And then finally,
fucking Jerry Springer.
Maybe the best Thanksgiving in Oklahoma ever.
This is like my dinner with Andre times 11.
This was, it's such a good episode. Good. And we can't wait to talk about that. It's got a reality game pod.
Good, right?
Go to realitygazepodcast.com, everybody. Hey.
Twitter on Reality Gaze Pod.
I just got one today for a cameo for Father's Day. If you want your daddy to get a little
or
cameo
your father.
From a daddy, then just...
You're not a daddy.
Just come at us.
You'd like to think you are.
Just come at us and we'll help you out. We'll help your daddy out.
Gross!
We also want to remember... our charity this month in the Sissy Squad for the month of June.
Allie Forney Center.
The Allie Forney Center. If you're not in the Facebook group, you can go, let's see, Allie.
It's AllieForneyCenter.org.
Yes, and that is spelled, just so you know, AlieForneyCenter.org. The Allie Forney Center. Again, we want to remind you this. I just want to remind you that queer homeless foster kids have different needs than other kids, so this really helps them. Also, and subscribe to the Instagram if you're going to get foodie called. That should be dropping, I hope, maybe by next weekend. So be on the alert. Now, we call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just Lonely Hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
What? Who do we call? Who do we even call?
You know...
Oh, I can tell you.
This is...
You know, the Jehovah's Shah, we're going to go to the Hurricane. With the Hurricane coming, we're going to see the feet of Pelican. We're going to go have some tin cake. We're going to go have some lasagna. We're going to go to the Cafe du Monde. We're going to go to everything with the chicory.
Call us.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.